Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of She Is Worthy. My name is Nontle, and welcome to the first episode of 2025. I'm so excited. The last time I posted an episode was a while back. It was titled Different Seasons, Same God. And I think today's episode might be a continuation of that, because we're talking about trusting God today. But yeah, I'm so excited. I really am. I'd like to recommend a book. I'd also like to recommend a song, a little something. So the book I'd like to recommend today is The Dangers of Shallow Faith. It's by A.W. Tozer. I just finished it a week back. And the more time goes, the more I'm like, oh my God, that book might have changed my life. You know, it spoke about the dangers of the evangelical church is in, about how we are in the danger of worshiping the shadow of the throne and not the actual throne. It spoke about not looking at the container so much that you actually miss the contents that the container is producing. It spoke about listening to God. It spoke about so many things. So that's the book I'd like to recommend. And then I'd also like to recommend a song. I Will Trust by Red Rocks Worship. Oh, on repeat. On repeat. Day in and day out. Try it out, listen to it, and let me know what you think. So before we start, I'd like to pray. So let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you have blessed us with yet another day. You will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Jesus, that even though I've made the notes, I thank you that you would still have your way, Holy Spirit. Move like only you can move. I pray for your manifested presence like never before. Touch each and every one of our hearts, work in us, do the work that only you can do, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, trusting God. So, the internet separates trust into two parts, feeling confident and the responsibility for safety. Now, feeling confident. Trust can be based on a belief that someone will act in a way that will benefit you. Whereas responsibility for safety, it says, refers to the responsibility for safety and well-being of someone or something. Merriam-Webster, whom we love in this house, says, a firm belief in the character. So now, in relation to God, I think trust is you knowing that no matter the circumstances, God has your back. No matter how it might look in the physical, no matter what has been thrown at you, God has your back. But then also just trusting the character of God and trusting his word, that it, whatever he said, it will come to pass. So my first question would be, why individuals tend to shift their trust from God? And I think this is mostly because we tend to shift our focus from God because life has happened to us. We've experienced a few things that we might not want to experience. We've experienced hurt from people. We've experienced betrayal from people. We've experienced some suffering in our lives. Some tragedies have happened. And I'd like to read James 1:2-4, which says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I think that's such a beautiful statement. But then also, I think it's why it becomes a decision to trust him. So trusting God for me, I truly believe, is a decision that one has to come to. And it's not something that you will feel in the moment, but it's something that you will always know that I trust God, you know. Lydia from a book of named Appointment in Jerusalem says, "My own plans and feelings were on a human level, functioning and changeful, but God's purpose on the other level was on another level, and it remained unchanged." So trusting God is a decision that every believer comes to. You choose to trust and commit your life and ways to him, both big ways and small ways. Any small plans that you have, any big plans that you have, you choose to actually trust and commit them to the Lord. So my second question would be, how to know where your trust is placed? Because sometimes you might think your trust is placed on God, whereas it's actually placed on your money. Sometimes you might think it's placed on God, whereas it's placed on people, such as maybe your mother, your father, you know, your friends. So the best way, I think, to know where your trust is placed is to look at when troubles come, who is the first person you talk to? Who's the first person you run to? David in Psalms say, "I take refuge in you, Lord." Psalms 20 verse 7 actually says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord." So my question is it placed on materialistic things, things that will disappear? Not even just materialistic things. Is it placed maybe on anything else that will disappear at the end of time? You know, not even at the end of time, soon. Is it placed on chariots and horses, or will it be placed on one constant, the Lord? In the storms, that is when you actually truly are tested. In Matthew chapter 8, mostly verse 23 to 27, we see that the disciples are tested by a storm. And imagine this, the disciples have seen a lot of his miracles. The previous chapter, they had seen Jesus feeding multitudes of people. Yet when the storm comes, they choose not to remember his word. They don't choose not to. It's a subconscious thing that happens where they don't just remember his word. And they look to their storms. They look to the storm and they are like, "Yo, this is too much for us." Whereas the opposite happens with Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. The mountains surround him, the enemies surround him, and they're fighting against him. And yet, he doesn't allow emotions to dictate his decisions, you know. In verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3 says, "Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord." So yes, you are allowed to feel afraid. I'm not saying not that you are allowed to feel afraid. You are human, so you will feel afraid. There are moments when you'll feel, "Oh, this is too much for me. I can't do this." But what do you do in those moments? It's what you do after your fear. After your fear, do you choose to panic, or do you choose to look up to God and say, "God, I will seek your face. I'll remember your name." So 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20 says, "So they got up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and your inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe and trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe and trust in his prophets and succeed.'" You know, placing your trust on God, it makes you secure. As Jehoshaphat says here, that you will be established. There's a sense of security that comes with placing your trust on God. But then also, I think something that I would like to advise that we be careful of is placing your trust on God for things to replace our trust on God. So, for example, something that I think I would be very guilty of is placing your trust on God for money example, and you place your trust on God for money, and then you finally get the money and the provision that you've been seeking, and you forget to say, and you forget that God is your source, basically. And you look at to the money being your source, your wages being your source, your salary being your source. My prayer is I be brought to a place where I never forget that He is my source, no matter which door opens. You move on to the third question. So how do you actually trust God? Yes, you've realized my place is not placed on God currently. I am trusting. I've got other sources I trust. So how do I actually trust God? So what I can say is trust is a cycle of action. So if you think about how you have built your trust with your closest relationship, it might be your friend, it might be your spouse or your partner, it might be your wife, your husband. Especially, you know, maybe think of your closest friend, how you placed your trust. It didn't just happen instantly, but it was a process of talking, coming through for you in a time where you needed the most, you know, sharing your secrets with this person. Some things you have never even told other people, but you decided to share it with this person. The same will happen with God. So that's the same way you'll build your trust, basically, with God. You need to spend time with Him. You need to share your secrets with Him. You need to tell Him how you feel. You need to allow yourself to be vulnerable with Him. And most of the time we do that when we're talking to God through prayer. So let's remember as well that I think I posted something on Instagram, and our pastor always says this as well, that prayer is not a monologue, but a dialogue. It's not just you going to God and talking and saying, yeah. Imagine how you would feel if you've been waiting for this person, they don't open room for you the entire week, and they finally come and talk to you, but most of the time they're just doing the talking. You can't even pitch a word in. And then they close their Bible, they close their time, they say amen, they leave. There's no more room for you. You can't even put some impact on, say, hey, do this instead, maybe do this, oh, do this. So, you know, I think you listening to God is important as well. And I think the most important thing that I've come to realize is God is not expecting us to be perfect with Him. You need to show Him your most vulnerable thoughts. Express your frustrations if that's what you need. So you're not just using a bandage to cover up a wound or like a gunshot. And then 10 years down the line, we find out, oh my word, we should have dealt with that back in 2020. And we're dealing with it now. And there's so much more to unpack than if we had opened up the wound back in 2020. Another way is to read your Bible or read the Word. That's where I think you'll get to know God. That's where you'll get to see that how God comes through for His children. And to remind yourself as well that how precious you are to God. You know, you'll be able to see God's track record, not just in your life, but it expands the view of who God is. And I think also reading the Word, something that it does is that it provides a lot of intimacy with God. You're learning to trust God and not yourself. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. For me, the part that says all your heart, you can't think He'll do it or trust Him, but then also doubt that He'll do it, because then it's not going to happen. You know, preacher said, if you think God is going to do it and then you voice out that He's not going to do it, guess what? That's what you believe. You speak out what you actually believe. So even if you say, God will provide a job for me. God will provide a job for me. God will provide a job for me. And then in your moment of weariness, you say, God won't provide a job for me. That's what you believe. Why your heart? I mostly said why your heart, because that's where he dwells, in your heart. And it's often regarded as a central hub of the human emotion, intellect, and spirit. But then I think he brings it into remembrance as well, if it's in your heart. Like, he will lock the secret into your heart. I'm sure that's a verse somewhere in Proverbs. And then with the term of acknowledging God, it means it shows a sense of intimacy for me, of knowing him, not only in the good times, but also in the midst of the storm. And then the fourth way to trust God is actually surrendering. And this is not just, you know, partial surrender is almost like no surrender to God. Well, is no surrender to God. So not just partial surrender, but also getting rid of your backup plan, knowing that he will come through. He is the only plan that you have. And that means also coming to him and asking him what you need to let go of. You need patience. I think if you're going to trust God, you need a whole lot of patience. You know, just because you say, I trust you, God, doesn't mean it's going to happen easily. Whatever you trust in God for doesn't mean it's going to happen easily. But it does mean that it will work out in the end. I mean, if you think of Joseph, you know, Joseph had a dream. And he trusted God for it. And you would think it's going to happen instantly. But no, he was sold into slavery. And then from slavery, he was a Potiphar's wife, accused him of rape. And then he was thrown into jail. And we don't know how long he was there. But then he met the bread maker and the winemaker. And then 2 years later, he's out of jail. And then, only then, does his dream come through. So imagine how many years Joseph went through, you know, from his dream till the time that his dream came through. Abraham is another example, you know. But I think just trust the Lord. It's important. Why should you trust the Lord? You're imagining. So you're saying, oh my word, I've placed my trust on chariots. I've realized that, but then now, I think, Monty, you've given me the how to actually trust God. But now the question is, why should I even trust God? You know, I mean, what I'm doing works for me. My source of money, it works for me. I don't need to trust God. Why should I do it? Psalm 16, verse 2 says, I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have nothing good besides you. And I think that sums it up, because he is good. You trust the Lord because he is good, and only he is good. Psalms 34 verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So God is basically the epitome of goodness. There is no goodness apart from him. And also living in this world that is forever changing, you know, I'm a political science student, so I learn about globalization, I learn about the change happening. There's no stability in this world, you know. Even John 16 verse 33 says, in this world you will face trials and tribulations. So I think, you know, people changing sides so quickly. He is the only constant in our lives. Things will not always work out. You have no guarantee that tomorrow you will wake up and the thing that you trust will be there. But you'll know that in him, he is always a constant in our life. He is the rock of ages. The thing you trust, the third point is that the thing you trust essentially becomes what you worship. So when you're going through a hard time, what is the first thing you reach for? It could be your money. It could be calling your parents. It could be something else, you know? And that might be what you worship. And lastly, I want to talk about the benefits and the fruits of actually trusting God. Yes, there's joy, there is security, there's strength, there's guidance and direction, but there's also a lot of peace that comes with trusting God. You know, knowing that things will work out for the greater good. When you trust God, you're able to enter into his rest. You think of the disciples, for example. When he told them, when he got into the boat, he told them, "We are going across." And he was able to rest because he knew his word is yes and amen. And they're going to get across. And then the storms happened and the disciples started panicking and they trusted their skills and they said, "We can do this. We've gotten through so many storms," and they weren't able to do it. But then they woke him up and he said, "Be still, because the sea, be still," because he knew that they were going across. Psalms 95, verse 10 to 11, it says, "For 40 years I was grieved and with that generation, and said to its people who go astray in their hearts, 'They do not know my ways.' So I saw in my wrath that they will not enter my rest." I think this was a scripture that it scared me a bit. That really, may I truly never go astray. And I know Jesus has paid for that, so I never have to, you know, worry about that as much. But it's something that I really, really want, to never go astray, you know. And I think that's where trust comes in, the benefits of trust. That if I trust him, I'll never go astray. Then I'll have his rest. I'll have his guidance, that I can never go astray. And the second part that I really want to talk about for the benefits is you find your purpose and what you've been called to do. You know, because he will tell you what to do. His word is a guidance. And a scripture you could read is Psalms 37, verse 3 to 6. Now, the third one is you increase your intimacy with God because it shows dependency, knowing him, that he holds tomorrow and that you have nothing else, and no one else really to rely on. So my trust and intimacy for me is not something that I have perfected, but it is something that I strive to getting right every day, not just in the bad seasons, but also in the good seasons. So really, I hope this podcast encourages you to go out there and be fully persuaded in your trust. You know, live it for the world to see. Thank you. Enjoy your week. I will see you on the next podcast. Be sure to review the podcast, leave a comment, leave something that you would like me to discuss in the next podcast, and I'll see you next week, Saturday. Thank you so much. Have a great week.